Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We were trying to get on live again tonight. We finally figured it out. Sometimes it's easier than other times for some reason. Some of us beginners, anyway. So we've had a nice day. The Lord has blessed us. It seems like summer is on the way. I'm wondering how much more rain we're going to get, but we have a really important subject to talk about tonight. And as you join us here on this time of Bible study and prayer, don't hesitate to put in a prayer request. You can type it in. It'll show up on the screen for us, and I will offer a prayer for your special needs. But we want to talk tonight about faith and prayer, and particularly the quality of childlike faith. This is something that Jesus mentioned in his teachings many times. It's in the Bible, many texts. We'll take a look at a few of the texts tonight. But at one point, there was a situation where the disciples had gotten into one of their frequent disputes about which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus noticed this, and in fact, it had caused them a lot of trouble. There was a young boy that needed prayer for healing. Jesus had gone up to the mountain of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and the nine other disciples had stayed down below in the town, and this boy that had a demonic harassment was in great need of prayer. The father was totally exasperated. He brought this boy to the disciples of Jesus, but they did not have a strong quality of faith. And the reason they didn't is because they had been arguing about which of them was going to be the greatest. And if you remember in that story, when Jesus came down from the mountain, he found the situation, and there was all this frustration and confusion and exasperation on the part of the father of the boy, who said that he would, had brought this his son to the disciples, and they weren't able to help. And Jesus talked about faith. He said, "What a faithless generation." And then Jesus prayed for the boy, and he was delivered. But when the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast this demon out of this young boy? Jesus said, because of your lack of faith. And then he said, you know, even if you have just a small amount of real faith, a mustard seed of faith, you'll be able to say to this mountain, be removed, and it will happen, referring to, you know, mountains of difficulty. But they had had a crisis of faith because of their infighting and not praying and not looking to God. And so Jesus, at that point, decided to make an object lesson, an illustration. And it's in Matthew 18. And this one is going to highlight the importance of faith, childlike faith, and the particular quality that is mentioned in this particular text is that of being humble, humility. Matthew chapter 18, which is the one following the story we just mentioned. And so the disciples came to him in Matthew 18 and verse 1. And let us just pray before we read the Bible. Our Father in heaven, we ask for spiritual understanding as we read. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" There they are again, asking that question. Who's going to be the greatest? And so Jesus sees a wonderful opportunity to teach a lesson on the qualities that he's looking for in people, and the qualities that make it possible to have an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And he finds a child. Verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. So this is quite an object lesson with a child right there. I'm sure that he had everybody's attention who was listening in. And then he gave the teaching. He said, verse 3, Matthew 18, verily or truly I say to you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then he talks about humility. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility, recognizing that you are in a low position. That's an interesting characteristic of children. They don't argue about the fact that they are in a dependent position. They don't dispute it. They don't have anything to say other than that it's just kind of part of who they are at that stage in their lives. They're humble. They are recognizing, cognizant of their need, of their dependency, and so on. And so Jesus says, you've got to be converted and become like this child. By the way, we'd like to welcome Sebastian. I see he's tuned in, watching. Glad to have you, Sebastian, with us. Jesus is talking about humility here in Matthew 18. And that's a wonderful quality of children. A humble person is a non-threatening kind of person. That's what we would think of. A humble person is someone who we would feel comfortable around. You would never feel like you need to put on airs or be somebody that you're not around a humble person. It'd be very easy to be around that kind of person. And that's what children are noted for here in this verse. And Jesus says this is the quality and the characteristic that you need to have. Now, when we get older, of course, you know, life changes and we encounter life. We go through the school of hard knocks. We can get cynical. We can get negative. We can get doubtful of things, and we lose this quality of faith. And so this is something that we have as adults, but we've got to learn how to still trust God as a child, even when we get older and we learn a lot of things. I know Sebastian has put in a prayer request. He says here he's been going through a lot. I'd like to pause for just a moment and pray a special prayer for Sebastian. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can trust you. We believe in you. We want to trust you like a child. And Sebastian has given a prayer request that he's going through different things that have been difficult. And you know what they are, Lord. And so I pray that you will be very close to Sebastian. Give him your comfort, your strength, and whatever it is in a special way that he needs. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pray, Sebastian, the Lord will bless you. So humility is a quality of faith. You know, when we bring this spirit to prayer, we're coming before God, recognizing that God is God. We are not God. God is the one who is in charge. We can come to him as a father, as a child trusts in a father. We can come to God. That's an attitude of prayer that we need to pray that we would have more of that attitude. When we pray, you know, a child doesn't have difficulty believing that God is hearing their prayer. And there's so many different experiences that could be shared. There was an incident one time with the man who started the orphanages in England. You know, he was famous for that. And he was needing to get to his destination, needing to get over across the Atlantic Ocean and to do some speaking, some teaching. And the ship was delayed because of thick fog. He went and asked the captain, could we pray about this? And the captain sort of agreed to it, to go down to the cabin and pray. And the captain confessed that he had a hard time believing that it would help, that it would do any good to pray. But this prayer was made, and the fog began to lift. And it was quite amazing to the captain that this great man of God, who had started all these orphanages, had gone to that point where he had that kind of faith, where he could trust and believe that God was going to lift that fog and help that ship to get on its way fast enough. And that's an example of the quality of humility. Another thing about children that makes them unique is that of being teachable. Proverbs 22 verse 6 talks about the teachableness of a child. Proverbs 22 verse 6 is not actually a text about prayer, but it is about children, and it is about training and teaching. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So a child is in a position where they know that they need training. They know that they need to be taught, and they have an attitude and a willingness to learn. I've taught children in church settings for many years, and I think especially in connection to camp meetings, as so many times at camp meetings I've been assigned to work in one of the children's divisions, where we have children's meetings with all kinds of different activities, Bible teachings and games and all kinds of stuff like that. And I've worked in all the different age groups, from beginners on up through early teens and primaries and so on. And I'm always amazed, you know, when you get a gathering of these kids together, at how well they will listen to a Bible story or to any kind of teaching that we want to give to them. And it's a wonderful thing to see a child that has an attitude of willingness to learn and to be taught. That is a quality that we need to have. If we want to go before God in prayer in a way that's going to be successful, believing, training, knowing that we need help, and knowing that we're needing to be taught. I heard about a president of the United States. Now, you would think that a president wouldn't be very humble, wouldn't feel the need to be humble. That person has reached the pinnacle of power in the world. But I remember hearing about a president, and I don't remember which president it was. It doesn't matter for this story. But in order for him to reinforce in his mind that he was needing God's help, that he was like a child of God, not someone who had gone beyond the need for training and help and so on, he would go out at night and he would look at the stars and just wonder at the amazing power of God's creation. And he liked to study astronomy, and he knew, you know, something about the distances and the size of the stars and so on. And he was out there one night outside the White House with a friend of his just studying the stars. And after a little while, he said, now we've done this enough. We recognize how small and insignificant we are in comparison to God's great universe. And that's good enough for us for tonight. We've been reminded of that. And this was, you know, coming from the most powerful man in America, an attitude of teachableness, an attitude of humility. We can be teachable in humility at any stage in our lives, constantly remembering that we don't know everything there is to know, and that there's much that God has to teach us. We want to always have that kind of attitude. I'll give another example, and that is about believing the Bible. And there's a couple of texts I'll read on that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we have the counsel of Peter about children in connection to the Bible. Now, he's using this as an example of how adults should be, but it uses a baby as an example. 1 Peter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. This time it's a newborn that is brought into the picture. Desire the sincere milk of the word, like a nursing child that is totally dependent and doesn't, you know, have any kind of doubt or skepticism, is just wanting to have that milk. And we should have this kind of trust and belief in the Word of God, particularly the Word of God that's mentioned here. And we could give another example of this in the life of the pastor Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. We'll go there for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This is the example of Timothy. He was a pastor by this time, and yet this is what the Apostle Paul had to say to him. He said in verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, evil men and seducers will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, that's the opposite of childlike trust, isn't it? Evil seducers and getting worse and deceiving and so on. So by contrast here, it's now there's this word but, this conjunction. So Paul says, but, verse 14, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And now he's going to talk about a child and the Bible. Timothy is described as one who had this kind of faith, childlike faith. Verse 15, and from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then the next verse talks about the power of the scripture in the life of a Christian. And all this wonderful promise, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. A well-known text about scripture. But Paul says that Timothy had learned the scriptures from a child. Timothy had been taught by his mother and by his grandmother, as you read in other parts of Timothy there, that the Bible is true and that he can trust in the scripture. You know, it's wonderful how children will believe in the power of the Word of God and have a sacred awe in connection to the wonders and the beauty of the Word of God. And Timothy had that. So it's not only humility, it's not only a teachableness, but it's an attitude toward the Bible that is mentioned here in connection to faith. An attitude toward Jesus Christ himself. We go to John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12, where the image and example of a child is given again. And here it is, and this time it's in relationship to the person of Jesus, the person of Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Our relationship with the person of Jesus, that is very, very important. trusting in Jesus, believing that Jesus is who he said he was, receiving Jesus. This is more than just believing that Jesus is sort of in general the savior of the world, but this is a personal belief in believing Jesus is your own personal savior. And a child is able to do that. In fact, it uses the example of a child here. It says that is how we become the sons of God or the daughters of God when we receive Jesus like that. Believing and trusting in Jesus. Children are able to trust in Jesus in a wonderful way. And we don't have to lose that even though we get older. I want to talk about faith for a minute. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we have a statement of the Apostle Paul on the matter of faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. He's going to compare it now to the difference between sight and faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. A child has this interesting quality about walking by faith, not by sight. I'm going to share a couple of examples of that. I read a story to my children some time ago about a young girl who was blind, who enrolled in a school. It was not a school for the blind. It was a regular elementary school. And she was the only blind student in the school. And of course, she had to get around the school and down the halls and around the building differently than the other kids did. She learned her way. She had to follow. There was a railing on the side of the wall that she would follow, and she knew right where to turn. And she learned how to get around in that school, even though there were some turns and hallways and getting into the different classrooms that she had to go in and so forth. And it happened that one day there was actually a fire in the school. Can you imagine? And this really happened. There was a fire. The place started getting smoky, and everybody, all the kids had to get out of the school. And who knew how to get out of there without seeing anything better than this girl? She had learned this every single day that she had been there. And so she just went right out, and all the kids followed her. They couldn't see anything, but they followed her, and she knew how to find the way, and she led everybody outside. She had learned to walk by faith, not by sight. And she was a child. I'll never forget when I was a counselor at a blind camp in Utah one summer many years ago. And it was my only time that I ever got to work at a blind camp. I was amazed at how much the kids appreciated this privilege. This once a year, they looked forward to it so much. And so we actually had this camp set up where the boys and the male counselors for the boys in the camp all slept in one big, huge, gigantic tent. And we had these cots set up. You know, everybody had their cot. And there must have been at least 30 cots in that big tent. And we had this campfire program that we would go to each night. I was responsible for three boys during that week. And they had their cots next to mine in the big sleeping tent. But one night they came with me, and we went out to the campfire for the campfire program for that evening. And I had forgotten to bring my flashlight. I just took the boys. We enjoyed the campfire program, and by the time it was over, it was dark, of course, and we had to get back to the big tent, back to where we're gonna go to sleep for the night. And these boys who had learned their way, they knew exactly how to get there. I had forgotten my flashlight. I was having a difficult time. I was bumping into beds. I was bumping into the support pole in the middle of the tent and just having quite a time. And I was so impressed, as I thought, you know, these guys, for them, it's nothing new. They've been doing this for several days since they've been here. They didn't have any trouble at all. They had learned to walk by faith, not by sight, if you will, in a sort of a down-to-earth kind of way. They had learned the way in the dark. And so I think that that's something that these kids had a lesson to teach by example, whether it was the girl leading the classmates out of the burning school, or whether it's these boys at the camp. They kind of learned how to go without seeing things and just trust. You know, how much can we trust in God when we don't see the solution? How much can we actually still believe and find our way? Let's take a lesson from the kids and learn to trust in God. There was a young boy from Germany many, many years ago who grew up in a royal family. His name was Nicholas, and his last name was Zinzendorf. It's kind of a long name. This was about 300 years ago or so. And Nicholas Zinzendorf was a count. This was some type of a position there within the royalty of Germany. And he grew up in a family of believers. They lived in this two-story house, and Nick would write letters to God, and he would put them out his window. And where they lived, there was gusts of wind from time to time, and he would put those out when the wind was coming, and this letter that he had written to God, it would blow up, you know, way up high above the house. And that was his way of sending a letter to God. And of course, the letter fell back down to the ground, but God heard the prayers of this Nicholas von Zinzendorf, and he grew up to become a great Christian leader and started the first missionary society. And they had many, many people that were part of this and that were trained. They went as missionaries to the West Indies Islands. Some of them went as missionaries to the New World America here in the colonies. They were known as the Moravian missionaries. And this was even before William Carey. There you have a child who trusted in God and who continued to learn, continued to have that kind of faith throughout his life. And it bore wonderful fruit. And so we just want to talk about tonight the importance of trust, the importance of believing, the importance of accepting the Word of God, accepting the person of Jesus, believing in the person of God and the place of God. You know, it's interesting. There are people who have devoted their entire lives to teaching this truth that there is a God. It might seem like kind of simple, one of them, some may know and be familiar with the name of this man, Ravi Zacharias. He spent his whole life teaching people that there is a God, and that in this age of atheism and this age of evolution, and where young people on the university campuses are no longer, you know, have a foundation of faith. And he would go onto the campuses and speak to large numbers of students about the truth of God's existence, about he would point out that it's not who you are, but it's whose you are. That is, you belong to God. You're created in the image of God. And this gives us the sense of our purpose for being, and why we're here, and our morality, and all of that is connected with that. And you don't have that without that. He talked about Jesus Christ and spent his life just on these fundamental things. And he has just died of cancer, and there's a lot of news about it in the Christian world right now. But let's take a lesson of trusting and believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in His Word, in the power of His promises, in the teachings that are so dear to us in these last days. We believe in God. We believe in the Creator God. And we have a special message to the world about the Creator and the memorial of God's creation in the Sabbath and in the other beautiful doctrines of Christ that we believe in. We want to continue to believe, continue to trust in these things, not fall away, not lose faith, but to trust like a child. We can, you know, even the angels of heaven, and there's a really interesting testimony right now of the pastor's wife out in the Medford area, Melanie Coleman, that you might have heard about, but she was praying and she actually had a vision of angels. It's a very powerful testimony. This just recently happened. She talked about how big they were and how strong and powerful and how majestic they looked. And just a, quite an impressive testimony to read. And when I get a chance, I'll find it. I'll read it sometime in one of our meetings here. But trusting in the truthfulness of what the Bible has to say about angels, what it has to say about Jesus, what it has to say about eternal life, all these things, we can trust in them. And when we go to God in prayer, let's continue to believe and trust that God is there like a child does. And God will honor and bless our prayers. So with that, I want to come to a close in our study tonight. And I would just like to offer one more prayer as we close. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love and your great power. We thank you for the Bible and the fact that we can trust in the truthfulness of the Bible. We can trust in the power of the Word. We pray, Lord, that we will have faith like a child. Help us to trust. Help us to believe. And you promised joy if we trust in you with this kind of faith. Some may have a more challenging time to develop this kind of faith. And I pray that you'll bless them as they seek to have that. We pray, Lord, now that you'll bless each one that is listening. Everyone that's listening tonight is having unique situations that they're facing. They are needing your help in certain ways. And I pray that you'll bless each one. You know the needs. You know the people. We thank you that we can trust you for that. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, let me just say that we do have a little bit of announcement. I'm going to be putting this in an email that goes out tomorrow to everyone. But the Brookings Church has decided to wait as for opening up for our regular services. There is a phase one that we're in now for about 3 weeks, and so we're going to be continuing to do the live streaming. The Gold Beach Church has decided to go ahead and open up, not this Sabbath, but the next Sabbath, May the 30th, and I'll be mentioning about that in the email as well. There's a fair bit of work that we have to do to be able to open up any church, even a small church. And so we'll be proceeding that way, but I'll say more about it tomorrow in the email that I sent out. All right, I just like to say hello to Chantal, to Larry Brown, who's joined us tonight, and to Don and Mary Kirk, and I'm not sure who else, we thank Sebastian for joining us as well. And so tonight we say goodnight and God bless you, and we'll see you next time.